The Bible says he entered into a ship. I like the passages of scriptures that tell us how that Jesus came down from a mountain, how Jesus now goes into a ship, various travels of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and who is writing these things, the Son of God. Everybody's going to respond and say, well, Matthew is, yes, but it's God through Matthew. God is inspiring this man to write these things and to tell us more about the Savior that he got to live with, that he got to touch, that he got to ride with, that he got to be able to be with. I mean, when you talk to someone who has been in the very presence of Jesus Christ, what does that do to you? Why, you just treasure everyone about their experiences with Jesus, the Son of God. The one who came, who died, but one who now lives forever. And that's who we're talking about today. And look what the Bible says. He, Jesus, entered into a ship, passed over and came into his own city. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Why then would someone make accusation against the Son of God for what has just transpired? Look at it. And the Bible says, behold, there were certain of the scribes said to themselves, this man blasphemes. What does that mean? It means he's speaking against God. This man didn't do it according to what he ought to have done. In other words, he didn't do it like I wanted it done. And so the scribes, notice if you will, said within themselves, this man blasphemed. And Jesus, knowing, you don't know what's in the mind of another, never speak before you know. You can't tell people that, I know what you're about to say, you may think you do, but no man knows what's in the heart of another man or what he's going to say except the man that does it. But now Jesus was different. What did he know? Well, the answer is quite obvious. He knew their thoughts. And before, therefore he said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Why are you evil? Your hearts are bad. Now, it's been a surprise in order to convince them that he was the Son of God of whom he's claiming to be. No. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. Why does Jesus now go back and say it like they said he should have said it? Well, he's convinced them either way he does it. He has the power to bring about the result that he does. Look at it. And he says, whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. They can't question him anymore. The power that Jesus exemplified and showed surely now should be convincing. But, and the Bible says, and when the multitude saw it, they marveled at its power and demand. Jesus did was always right. It's for a reason. He never on this earth did anything that was wrong. What he did at that time, under the circumstances which he did it, was always correct. Why? Because he was the Son of God. You know, when you look at it now, the Bible says Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. He arose and followed. Now, we mentioned And then look at it. All he had to do was just say, Matthew, follow me. Well, why? Who is Matthew? He's the tax collector. Who is writing these words? That man. And when he was called by Jesus, he forsook all and he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat and ate in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Can you imagine Jesus eating with publicans and sinners? Think you're going to get hear some feedback about that? Absolutely. Look what the Bible says. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Doesn't he know he ought to be better than they? Why is he mixing up with them? Their criticism of the action of the Son of God. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, you know what? I'm paraphrasing. I hope you'll understand what I'm about to say. Not a one of you can understand it when Jesus said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are to the doctor class people. Boy, we know all about it, don't we? The older you get, it seems like every week it's go to see the doctor. Try to find out something from the doctor. We won't help. Who goes to the doctor? The one that is sick. What's the physician supposed to do? Send you to another doctor. And you go to another doctor. And pretty soon I have no earthly idea how many doctors my wife has at this time. I do not know. One will send her here. One will send her over there. One has a specialty in this. Another has a specialty in that. And, you know, it just seems like it's just a constant go the older you get, isn't it? But you're seeking for help. You're seeking for a remedy. I got a good remedy. Brother Bobby Adams the other day. Bobby, you mind me telling that about that remedy you told me about, Ann? Because Ann's had a lot of trouble, you know, with the pinched nerve and all that up there. He said, take vinegar. I don't see any here. Take vinegar and rub it on that place. Be careful that you don't let, because if your skin is real sensitive, what's going to happen? You may break out from it. But Bobby told me, and I told you, I tell you what, I said, Bobby, I'm going to try that. And Ann said, what in the world are you doing? And I said, I'm healing you, girl. We're going to have a healing. You're going to get healed. Dr. Bobby from church told me how to get it done. And boy, yeah, Bobby, I think it's helped her. She's feeling better. Different remedies. And y'all, I tell you, I used to laugh at some of the old folks, different things they talk about, Vic Salve. Well, man, I tell you, I live and breathe with Vic Salve now. I don't know about some of y'all may laugh about it, but that's all right. Anyway, different people have different, and there are different remedies that you use that will not be as good maybe on one person as the other. Why? Because we're mostly different. Most of us are different. How many, as far as ice cream is concerned, everybody who would pick out vanilla ice cream, if you had a choice, raise your hand right now. All right? Everybody that would pick out strawberry ice cream, raise your hand right up high. Everybody that would pick out chocolate, guess what? The chocolate won this morning. Why? Different people have their different likes or dislikes. Yep. All right, here we go. Here are the criticizing, but Jesus says to them, behold, they not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. What does it mean, Master? When one is sick spiritually, what does he need? For the doctor to tell him where he can find mercy. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, go ye and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. James, you had a good sermon Sunday? All right, tell us now, whom did Jesus come to save? How are you going to save people that are wicked and sinners, James? How are you going to do that? How are you going to save them? You've got to mix up with them, don't you? Yeah. Where's Jesus now if I ask anybody? Anybody? He's sitting with whom? He's sitting with publicans and sinners. For the Pharisees, they're all the outcasts. What does that really say to us? Oh, no, we don't want to be like them, but we want to be able to pull them above and show them how they can walk with the Lord and they can find mercy. That's what Jesus is saying. I will have mercy. I came to seek and to save those that are lost. Those that are righteous, they don't need salvation. They're already saved. Why? Save those that are lost. That's what Jesus said. All right. Anybody got any comment? What did you say, sir? Huh? Good illustration, folks. Who are you going to be seeking? You got 99 who need not to be found because they're in the safety of the sheepfold. But there's one stretch, one that left. Out there in the mountains someplace. And if you don't get out there and find him, get him and bring him back, what's going to happen to him? He's going to die. Yes. All right, read it. All right. What he's saying there is, when you put me first, I guarantee everything's going to work out all right for you, basically, is what he's saying. All right. Now, then came to him the disciples of John, saying, John's disciples, John the Baptist's disciples. Now notice what they're saying. Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast? Why is it that John's disciples are fasting? What is a person, why do they fast? Anybody? There's a reason. You're fasting if you're what? If you're concerned about a matter, you're praying over a matter, you don't want to eat. You're doing what? You're fasting. Why? Because you have a crucial matter before you. What happened to John, class? John the Baptist. His head was cut off, remember? Why were his disciples fasting? Because of the death of John. Now Jesus has said, I'm not dead yet. That's why my disciples are not fasting. The day's going to come, though, when the bridegroom is no longer with them, and guess what his disciples will do? Look at what he's saying. Beautiful. Jesus said, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh away from the garment, the rent is made worse. Neither men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles and both are preserved. The whole thing is, Jesus is now telling them how they are to live. Got any questions? Now look at the next. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. He's on his way. Here comes somebody, my daughter. She's real, real sick. I need help. What did Jesus say about the person that needs a physician? The one that is sick. What's he practicing? What is he doing? Going to the sick. What do they want? They want to find relief. My daughter is even now, what, now dead? But come, guess what? If you lay a hand upon her, she shall live. Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Can you imagine somebody sick, real bad, with an issue of blood, and they hear Jesus is coming, the Master? Does she believe him? Oh, yes. What does she do? All she does is touch the hem of his garment. Look at it. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Follow, I just touching his garment will be sufficient for me to come home. Did Jesus know everything naturally? Now notice what the Bible says. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. She now has been healed by the doctor. But she believed, and she showed that in what she did. Been sick for 12 years, wouldn't that be a long time? I mean, every year it'd be just 12 months of terrible sickness. Obviously, she was. But she knew where to get healed, and that was with Jesus. And the woman was made whole from that. For now, looking, when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and people making a noise, he said to them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth in them. To scorn. Jesus now has arrived. And he says, she's not dead in the sense that she's going to stay dead. Death is spoken of as a sleep. Now then, notice what he says. But they laughed him to scorn. When the people, all Jesus had to do was just simply touch her hand. Now, I didn't help her or hurt her, I don't think, did it? Not mine. But can you imagine the Master taking his hand and just simply touching it? Oh, power. You're serving a king. You're serving a powerful doctor. The one that can heal you and heal me of all our diseases, sin, sick diseases. And we know that because we believe in. And though we have to, this body sometimes suffer, even die, he still will bring about the salvation that your heart longs for, because you can die in the Lord. Beautiful, beautiful. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. I mean, everywhere. Well, can you imagine somebody that has presumably died, and now here someone walks in, and all he does is what? When he came into the room, he saw, and he gave it. And the Bible says, she's not dead, Jesus said. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people went in, and he took her by the hand, and the maid arose immediately. Now, she's not dead to stay dead. She's been asleep, yes. Now then, she's completely alive, because the Master who giveth life. Question? Comment then. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. I want to bring in something to class this morning just a little bit. I tune in sometimes up late at night and different times during. Sometimes, and I don't know, 101, do y'all have 101 on Charter in your on your television? Well, anyway, there's all these different preachers that after that time in the morning, boy, have you ever heard of that one? I've forgotten his name now, but he's always telling them to make an investment. And if they'll just invest with God, because look what all, you know, he told of a situation. I couldn't believe I heard this. He said that, oh, God has just blessed him abundantly, because he said that after he had done his investing and everything, and then he came out with the point, he said, and I was in the restroom, and I was eating at the restaurant, and these people came in that were rich, and they said the Lord had led them over to his table, told him they're going to give him a new airplane. Another one gave him a new suit. Another one's going to give him money. And he said, I tell you what, when you're doing it for the Lord, I mean, he's going to give. Is that what people are listening to, believing? Many, many people are sacrificing to all of that. Does people have that kind of power over people? Yes. They really do. People sometimes are convinced that somebody else can heal them or else make them rich. Friend, let me tell you, when you follow the one who said foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He showed you right there, it's not all in material things. Nothing wrong with having material things. God's blessed you with it, but that's not the objective in following Jesus. Our objective in following him is to show him we love him and thank him for every day that we have in life. Fame, out. All right. Now look, and when Jesus departed, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. One night, Anne was so sick in such great pain. She said, Honey, would you please just pray? Beg God to relieve me of this pain. I've prayed many, many prayers, folks. But that one probably must have been about 2:30 in the morning, something like that. I mean, I really, really pray. Now, you get relieved not so many times from the pain, but how that God equips you to deal with it. Thanking him for all the blessings you have. Tell you what, all of us have experiences in life. If it brings us closer to the Lord, let us be grateful for it. Look what the Bible here is saying. There's men that cannot see. They're blind. I'm praying for some folks who's got with their sight. Man, it's tough whenever you can't see. I had that lady in Shelbyville, Tennessee. She had been told, and I told you this story before, and she had been told by the doctors she could see a little bit now, but pretty soon you're not going to be able to see anything. And Ms. Harris, she told me every morning she got up, when she'd wake up, she'd turn, if she could just see the shadows come through the blinds, she'd say, Thank you, God, for another day of sight. I don't do that. Why don't I thank God more for my sight? I think that's one of the hardest senses that you have to give up. Not being able to see. The day came. And it was total darkness. And I don't remember the exact words, but in essence, she would say to me, but he sure gave me a lot of good days being able to see. Friends, I want to tell you, you're dealing with the Lord. What he calls you to bear, be thankful. He'll help you through it. And look what he said about these two blind men. They cry out, Thou have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to him, believe ye that I am able to do this? They can't see him. They're blind. He asked, what did he ask? Do you believe that I can do what you're asking me to do, is give you sight? Look at their response. I mean, it was not a long, drawn-out reply. It was simply, yes, and then, Lord. Look how it recognized him, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, we believe that you can do it. Then touch he their eyes. According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But when you're just so happy, so thrilled that you can see the trees and see the sunrise and the sunset, then know that you couldn't see before. You can almost see how this, to go out and tell everybody, a broadcast, can see, and it's all because of that man called Jesus. The Bible says when they were departed, they spread abroad his fame in all that country. Why did Jesus tell them, don't tell anybody? Because his time was not yet come. He would announce it. Right now he's in preparation. He's getting ready for his time. But right, it's not quite yet. And he told them, don't say anything about it to anybody. But they just, you know, I guess something when happens to you that you just can't hardly keep it to yourself. What do? You get on the phone, you call everybody, and you tell them, here, these two blind men, they want everybody to know. Then notice, they went out, and behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. Boy, I don't know how you feel about it. I don't think people are possessed in the same way today with devils. I think Jesus has been victorious over Satan's use of that. But notice what he says. What is a dumb man, anybody? Huh? Can't speak. Boy, that'd be tough. How in the world would you live if you couldn't talk? How many of you like to talk? Now, come on, grin a little bit. All you young people, middle-aged people, you old people, and tiny bee, most of us love to chatter. We love to talk. Guess what? Here was one that could not. And the reason why was because he was possessed with the devil. Wow. Oh, man. You don't want that part. You know what is, can't talk. What was cast out, the dumb spake. Oh. Wouldn't that cause people to marvel? I'd be amazed, wouldn't you? And no wonder the Bible says these folks marvel, saying it was never so seen in Israel, but the Pharisees said, oh, he's casting out devils through the prince of what? The devil, Beelzebub. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Look at, and Jesus went out about all the cities and villages, teaching their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and brought as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into. You know what all of this is saying? He needs people. He needs you and he needs me. Do what we can do and do it for him as we assist others in our lives. Got any questions at all? Boy, almost every sentence in here, you could just have a sermon. I mean a 45-minute sermon easy. But what it really is saying to us, the Master has shown us he indeed is the Master. you believe in him, then trust him, and don't let anything ever cause you to dampen your faith in the one that is called Jesus. Anybody got any questions or comments? That's all the time we have. Thank you so much for your help.